Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for June 22nd. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me, shaking his head, nodding in agreement, is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy?
You're right, you're right, you're right. When aren't you right, Mr. Gibson? I am nodding my head. Well, I wasn't, but, you know, inside I am.
Don't ask me when I'm not right, because that's so frequent. Ask me when I am right.
Okay, I'll try to remember. You're seldom right.
You're right.
I'll take that as an accomplishment or an achievement or a compliment or whatever.
All right. On this week's show, we've got a chat with Luis Cruz of the Lotte Marines. We're going to talk about the Interleague Championship, the Bay Stars, and answer our listener questions. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
Okay, so I went out to Jingu Stadium on Monday, and I got to talk with Luis Cruz, one of my favorite players here in Japan, not only because he was a Dodger, but no reaction
well,
at all.
I was thinking that might not be such a good thing right now.
Well, it's a good thing he's not with the Dodgers right now.
It would be good. They could probably use him.
Anyway, so we spoke, and this was the...
Okay, I'll volunteer to play for the Dodgers.
Great. Play what?
Play the Jew's harp, whatever.
This was the second to the last interleague matchup. This was a makeup game from between those two teams that got rained out earlier, and... Of course, I got to talk to him before the game, and they went out and won that game. And then Interleague was decided the next night, so we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But the first thing I noticed, and I had said it before, was how svelte he was looking. And he's really lost a lot of weight. He really looks good. And I think he's making a good case for a gold glove this year in the Pacific League. And, you know, I said that to him, and you'll hear in the interview, and you'll hear his reaction. But, I mean, he was good last year, but he's even better this year.
Well, you know, who's the competition?
The competition is stiff.
Kazuya Fujita. I think that's tough.
And
if he comes back from his injury.
He's injured. I mean, he's got a bad collar or a bad shoulder or something. He's injured, and you see it when he runs around the bases. He's holding his shoulder.
So I don't think so, but I think Fujita, of course, he just went out yesterday.
Right, a hamstring.
Right. So if he comes back, then I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so, but he's making a case. Luis is making his own case.
Okay, he didn't have to hire a lawyer to do that.
He might need a lawyer to get it, though.
Could be. Well, we know how those things go in Japan.
Yes, we do. So he's really settled in. You know, we talked a long time, and here's another guy I sat down with, and we talked before the interview started, and we recorded, and then we talked after the interview, and we talked about the team, we talked about his play, we talked about basketball, which he challenged me to a one-on-one matchup, so I have to try to find a way to make that happen somehow.
Yeah, we ought to capture that one on video.
We should play for charity, maybe that'll do it.
Oh, okay. sounds good.
Yeah, and then we talked about family, but anyway, like I said, he's really settled in at second base, and the Marines really trust him, and you'll hear that in the chat, so let's take a listen.
All right, Luis Cruz of the Lotte Marines is with us again for the second time on the show. Thanks a lot, man, for talking to us.
Oh, thank you.
Good to see you, man, except there's less of you. You look thinner. What's up? What happened?
Yeah, man, I have a really good offseason. This is the first year I didn't play winter ball, so I decided to just rest and start working out with my personal trainer, and I think it works out because I feel good, my body feels good, and in every aspect of my training, it feels good, so I'm happy.
So how did you approach this second season in Japan? Because I'm sure it's completely different for you.
I mean, I think this year, our manager Ito and me, we talk at the beginning of camp, and I think he noticed last year when I stopped doing all the job the Japanese guys do, I started having more success because, I mean, I was tired. And this year he kind of noticed it. In spring camp, he let me in my own, so I think it was big for me. It was big because he let me do my training, my running, my hitting. If I was tired, he just say, hey, if you're tired, just quit, and tomorrow you hit again. So I think that's part of of the success I'm having this year, because it's paying off all what I work out this offseason.
Yeah, I noticed that too last year. In fact, I remember seeing you one time, you saying, man, I'm tired.
Yes, man, I just told you this. By this time last year, my body was exhausted already. Mm. So, and this year I feel ready. Like, I feel like I wanna play every single game, and maybe it's because they're giving me the chance of doing my thing and just hitting my round of hit of batting practice and taking 10, 15 ground balls and taking in, just getting ready for the game.
All right, now, you made some great plays playing second base this year for the Marines. Are you thinking about a gold glove?
No, I'm just thinking about give my 100% every day. And I know it's a bunch of guys, they have a really good defense here in Japan. I'm just trying to do my best and help my team win. I think I'm learning all the guys, who's the fast runner, where this guy hit the ball, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. I'm not fast enough like these Japanese guys, but I think my dad always teach me how to read the bat and read the balls, so I can, you know, like, have an extra step.
And you know all the pitchers that are coming? You know your pitchers are throwing certain pitches?
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah, like, we play so much, like, in our league, Pacific League, we play the same guy, so I'm very much know where they're going to hit it.
Okay. Now, you're hitting for more power this year, and you're hitting in a power spot in the lineup sometimes. I mean, how do you adjust for that coming into this season?
I mean, I hit fourth last year and fifth, and at this offseason, me and my dad, we watched my video about when I hit good and when I didn't hit good, mm-hmm. and it was all about my timing. So here you cannot sit on pitches. You have to just get to your zone, and if your timing is right, you can hit anything, because in America, most of the times, you know, they're going to throw you a fastball 2-0, 3-1, 3-0.
Right. Right.
But here, if your timing is good, you can hit anything on the zone.
Mm-hmm.
So I hit a lot this offseason with my dad. So just like throwing me breaking stuff and trying to swing at strikes. I mean, I'm not going to do it every time, but if the more time I do I have my timing right, that's when I'm going to hit some balls hard.
Yep. And what I noticed last year, you hit 220 against right-handed pitchers, and this year you're up to around 290. Is that just like what you said, because you're looking for pitches in certain zones?
I think because I'm learning the timing, because every Japanese starter have a different, you know, like wind-ups and everything. So I watch over and over and over, and I try to, like, watching my video and try to time them, so when I go to the game, I don't give a pitch away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I work this offseason. And most of the guys, I faced them last year,
mm-hmm.
so I kind of know their
right.
their timing, so feel good.
All right, now this team is giving up, it's bringing up a lot of younger players this year, guys who we haven't seen before. What does that do to the continuity of the team? Is it competition, or is it just giving these guys a quick chance or a quick look?
I mean, I think we've been having some guys hurt, like the spine, and a lot of guys. And I think it's good that they're giving a chance to the young kids that they're coming up. And most of the guys are infielders, and I love to work with them, and you know, like, they always kind of ask me, like, oh, how do you play in America, this or that? So we just talk about it and try to teach them a little bit about the backhand, because here they don't use backhand.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my infield coach is okay with it, so he always asks me, hey, if you can talk to them, okay. So I feel good about it, and I feel more like part of the team more, like when they ask me stuff, because mm-hmm. I want to help them.
Right. So does that lift the competition, or does it help? Do you see a future star out there?
Yes. We have some young guys. They're going to be real good.
Some guys who can hit, yeah.
Yes.
Ooh,
and Nakamura.
Yeah.
We have Miki is really good defense. He can play second, third, shortstop. Aomatsu, he can play third, he can play first. But I mean, they deserving their chances, because they was hitting really good in the minors. So
mm-hmm.
so now they're here, and they're waiting for the chance.
Okay. So this season, Lotte is not making a lot of errors. However, according to Jim, this is a question from Jim. He says the balls that are on the ground, that are hit on the ground, fewer of them are being turned into outs. In fact, you're the last in the Pacific League, but not only that, out of all the teams in Japan, you're 11th out of 12. How can you explain that?
I mean, I don't think that's an explanation for that. I just go there and play second base and try to do my best.
Not you particularly. I'm talking about the whole team.
I mean, I don't know what to say about that.
I'm thinking AstroTurf has something to do with it because the ball flies faster up
there. Yeah, I mean, I think Chiba is a very tough stadium to play. In our league, we have a lot of turf. Like most, every stadium is turf. So I think, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we're trying to do our best. We don't want to be last place on that, but
want to be last in that for sure.
Yeah,
or in the standings.
Yes, I mean, but it's like I said, I don't know how to explain that. I mean, we all go there and try to do our best every time, but sometimes we're gonna get out, sometimes no.
Yep. All right, now my preseason prediction. Unfortunately, I had you guys finishing last, and that's not gonna happen. I don't think. I think fortunately for you guys, at least you're not gonna finish last. But how do you guys start moving up in the standings and winning more games consistently?
I mean, we trying to do our best. All young guys came in, coming up. They're doing a good job. And I mean, I don't really care about predictions or anything. We just try to go there and do our jobs. And I mean, sometimes we're gonna win games. Sometimes we're gonna have bad games. I think we have a good team, so we can finish like half of the board and let's see what happens. If our pitching and Despa comes back, and I think it's huge for us, and if our starters keep pitching the way they're pitching, I think we're going to be good. We're going to be okay.
Okay. Now, I've seen a lot of umpire mistakes this year, umpire errors, we'll call them. I know there was one on you in particular last year. How do you feel about them implementing the replay system here?
I would love that to happen here. There's a lot of missed calls. I mean, it's not only to me, to the foreign guys. It's to everybody. So it's kind of tough. We want to like try to talk about it, but if we try to talk about it, they think we are offending them because they don't speak English and I don't speak Japanese, so I don't know how to talk to them about it. So I think it would be a good idea to put the replay here, and I think one thing I really piss me off or just like kind of get me mad is like sometimes you hit a ball in the hole and the guy don't even touch it or the other guy just barely touch it, and they most of the time they give us an error. So I'm like, how is that an error? But if one of big name guys, you know, and this that happens everywhere, if we was like Hirano, the second baseman for Oryx, he land drive right at the first baseman and he bubble it and they give him a hit, but I hit a ball in the hole and they give me an error. So I'm like, how can that be fair?
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair.
For years, I've been
it's kind of tough
railing on this issue, but I don't think the scorers are watching.
I mean,
I don't think they're watching. I don't think they care.
Well, they don't care. I mean, even at home, sometimes we're playing at home, and you hit a ball like in the hole, or you know, maybe it's a hit. And error. I'm like, what? We're playing at home. Come on, bro. Huh? You know, like, because in America, if you're playing at home, you're going to get some, like, infield hits or something.
Right.
But here, we're playing, like, let's say, the guy for Shinichi hitting, the old guy.
Lefty?
That, yes.
Moreno.
No.
Lefty?
Ogasawara. If he hit anything close to being hit, they're going to give him a hit.
Yep.
And I'm good with it, but come on, you gotta be fair.
Fair. Yeah.
You know?
Even it out.
You know how hard it is to get a hit?
No, I don't actually.
It is so hard to get a hit, get a base hit. So that's why sometimes I fight my hitting coaches and they go, okay, we're gonna ask, but I don't think it's a rule, so they can change it.
Yeah, never seen them change it.
Never?
Yeah.
So it's kind of tough. It's kind of, that's the only thing I'm like, oh, come on, it should be a hit, but. I mean, this year I've been better. Like, okay, I gotta let it go.
All right, well, I'm gonna let you go, and good luck, you guys. Keep fighting and pulling yourselves up higher in the standings.
Thank you, man. Hopefully we finish half of the season and not last place like you predicted.
Thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, man.
Wow, Luis Cruz, as always. Good to hear you, man.
Yeah, thank you very much, Luis. Good seeing you. Good catching up, man. So I don't know about you, but two things really stood out for me after listening to the chat again. I'm glad he didn't hate me for picking the Marines to finish last. That's number one. And I don't think he cares that much about batting average on balls in play against the Marines. But those are the two things that stood out. What stood out from you?
Well, obviously, I think those two things. One, don't listen to prediction. I think it was interesting, you know, that, and we had talked about this before with a number of players, finding that balance between what you need to do and what the team needs you to do in practice. And every manager is different, and every relationship, every manager's relationship with each player is unique.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to say this is, you know, thanks. You know, what I like about Luis, well, there's many things I like about Luis Cruz, but one of them is that, you know, he's a prototypical team player.
Mm.
And you hear that throughout the interview. You know, we're not getting balls in play. Well, we're doing our best. We're all pulling together. We're all trying hard. You know, this guy's got his teammates back. He's got his coaches back. He's got his managers back. He's got his dad's back, and he's got his personal trainers back. If he had more people's back, I don't know what he'd be doing. He'd be having to hire a team of his own, I think. But he's just supportive of everybody, and, you know, we're in this together, and you got to love to have a guy like that on your team.
Definitely, definitely.
And so that's one thing. And I guess the other thing is the bit about the off season and going back and not playing winter ball and finding a happy medium between being fit and getting in practice. I mean, you know, he goes back and his hitting coach is at home.
Yeah, yeah. He's always talked about how he's worked with his father. So, yeah, he talked about it the first time I interviewed him last year.
Sure, his father was a former Mexican League outfielder. So... And he keeps an outfield glove just in case they need him to play the outfield, because he said he loves to play the outfield. So he does, you know, any place is fine by him. I guess the other thing is I've touched on this before, and I'll spare the listeners the same old, you know, kind of hackneyed story I have about how foreigners are treated by the official scorers. And what I want to point out is he made a distinction that exists in the United States, which is that the home team selects an official scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be always from the media, but wherever. In Japan, the leagues determine who the official scorer is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to go... I don't know how much that affects. I don't think there's really any home team bias, or there's very little home team bias in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
But there is... You know, like the umpiring, I think there is on occasion a foreigner bias. Foreigners are expected to make more plays. They're expected to make plays easier because they're foreigners or whatever the logic is. But I would say the scoring is fairly inconsistent in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you there.
And of course... And I understand for him that it's important that he get a hit. It's important to me as a fan if he gets a hit, if it's a player I like, that he reaches on an error somehow diminishes what he did, even though it's exactly the same thing.
Reaching base,
in the end, he's on base, he's not out.
Yeah.
He's on second base, he's not out. There's a, you know, however he gets there, I don't particularly care. Essentially, baseball was originally a game between. A contest between fielders and base runners.
Yeah, but I mean, you heard what he said. It's hard to get a hit out here.
Sure,
and you see that when your batting average drops because of it, and another guy's rises because of it, it doesn't seem fair. And I think that was what he's pointing out. Not so much
that
the result of the play, but the result of the impact on the
The lack of objectivity.
Well, just the impact on him personally.
Wow.
I think he takes it personally.
Yeah, a little bit it seems. But of course, we know this happens. I mean, it's not quite a story like, you know, the Gale Hopkins story
right.
that we related on, you know, where They were giving hits on errors to the players who were battling him for the Central League batting title, and giving him errors on clean hits.
Yeah.
And his interpreter ended up getting into a fist fight with one of the official scorers.
Right. For what was it, for actually coming to him and telling him what Gale said?
No. Yes. When the essentially, I'd love to talk to the interpreter, but he's passed away, so I don't know. But yeah, they did. According to Gale, there was a fist fight in the Carp dugout one day at Hiroshima, Shimin Kyujo.
Yeah. Well, that show is Volume 2, Show Number 3. I remember mentioning it this week, so if you want to go back and listen to that, Gale Hopkins was on then. But, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously the bias that we deal with, the errors and the hits and the calls that we talk about, I mean, you know, this goes on in the United States as well. I remember David Ortiz, Big Poppy, arguing when Bobby Valentine was the manager because he wanted an RBI for something before. So, I mean, this is not new to baseball at all. It's not unique or anything here. So I understand that aspect.
Sure. Sure. The other thing, I guess, was the interesting thing, and what I'm constantly arguing about was, you know, the introduction of instant replay. Now, I think I mentioned I was going to write about this on my blog. I haven't done it yet.
Uh-huh.
But essentially, the point is, the official line was, we're not going to have instant replay. Okay. But one team official told me, we don't want instant replay because it takes away from the human element. We like that human error and mistakes. Well, I guess we'll see how much he likes human error and mistakes when his plane crashes because the pilot made a mistake. But in the baseball field, it's okay if the, you know, guys get, you know, if
no.
people safe but they're called out or, you know, on really horrible calls. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway, that's the team officials. He says, I'm not in favor of replay. Then the umpire's technical committee members told me, we won't ever have instant replay in Japan because the teams would have to pony up for cameras, and they're not going to do it. It costs too much money.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got – that was the umpire's excuse. And then the real reason comes out. In America, of course, when the umpires speak to the media, they say, oh, we're happy to have instant replay. We're happy to get it right. That's what they say to the media, and the media is happily reporting that around. One of the umpire technical committee guys who umpired in the minors for years and knows many, many big league umpires said, are you kidding me? Those guys hate instant replay. It makes them look bad.
Right.
You think they like it? You are crazy. They hate it. They wished it would go away. They hate getting shown up. And then he said, of course, instant replay – don't show you nothing. There's nothing an umpire can't see that you can see on a camera. The camera is not reality. You know, he went on to this philosophical argument about why instant replay was a bad idea.
And which the socioeconomic impact of expanding.
No, it was all about pride, and I'm an umpire, and I know what's right.
Yeah.
Umpires know what's right, you don't.
Yeah, that's the idea that I get, and you know, obviously, the thing is in Japan is, and we've gotten a question about it. I think it was a year and a half ago that we got a question about it. And I actually called the league and asked them about their umpiring training and all that stuff. And obviously, you can't always get every call right. And there are going to be mistakes throughout games. And
there are going to be mistakes in replays.
And we've seen that in the United States. And I was always of the thought that once the system in the U.S., once the MLB gets its system straight, MPB would try to adopt something similar to that. And that the system in the States still isn't right. It's still making poor decisions on these replays.
In that respect, Japan is hoping it never gets it right.
Yeah, I would say the same. But I'm with you. I think these umpires don't want to be shown getting calls wrong. And you know, that's why we see, even in the States, if the call is really close, even on camera, they don't overturn it.
Well, if it's close on the camera, don't overturn it. I mean, that's fair enough with me. I don't have a problem with that. It's when it's wildly, you know, and we see these calls in Japan where the guy misses it horribly. And the guy said, oh, you think you're seeing the call, but you're not. I'm going, oh, my gosh. It was like, arguing with, and you know, it's just arguing with the umpire who's always right.
Yeah. Well, obviously it was a kind of a sore spot for Luis, but you know, I like the way that he jokingly took a shot at my prediction near the end, and which I think, you know, like I said, even if I had picked him to finish first, I think he would have reacted the same way, you know, because essentially the predictions mean nothing to these guys. They can't.
Yeah.
They're going to go out and play. They're going to go out and play either way. So
exactly. I mean, I think the same thing about, you know, if you ask somebody, you know, what do you think about sabermetrics? You're like, who cares? It's like asking the rats in the maze what they think of psychologists. I mean, they got a thing. They got their thing to do. It doesn't matter who's watching or who's measuring it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to compare baseball players with rats. I've met very few I'd even think of that as any sort of good analogy. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they've got a job. The measure is for somebody else, yeah. and our predictions are for us and for our fans, and it's you know, it's kind of a way of looking at the season. So
right,
and his way of looking at the season has nothing to do with how we see it.
Exactly, and I love the fact that the coaches respect his defensive prowess so much that they're letting him work with the younger players. And you know, he talked about how they don't want to use the backhand a lot of times, especially guys on second base. Did you find it interesting that he said, you know, this guy's good and this guy's good and this guy's going to play short and this guy might play third and this guy might play first, but he never said they're going to take my spot at second base.
Well, I guess the interesting thing was his mentioning Aomatsu playing first or third, and Aomatsu was one of these guys. They had two guys in the, you know, like 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Who were about ready to play, and they didn't have positions for him. And one was Aomatsu, and the other was Shunichi Nemoto. They're infielders, but Aomatsu was often hurt, and Nemoto was about to be the regular second baseman when the Marines front office basically told Bobby, stay on the field and, you know, don't look behind the curtain at what we're doing in the front office.
Mm-hmm.
And here's your new second baseman, Tadahito Iguchi.
Right.
So they, you know, they gave a 35-year-old guy the job they had intended for a 26-year-old guy.
Right.
Which was so un-Bobby-like. But, yeah, I mean, I can't – there's no fault to Iguchi that he was a pawn and all that. But Aomatsu as a young player is kind of a stretch. He's a guy who hasn't played at all.
Uh-huh. You know, I know he likes the way they hit, and I just found it odd that he said he didn't mention them playing second base. But he looks healthy. Luis looks healthy, and you know, and he's been playing pretty well. He's not hitting great, but as a middle infielder playing and hitting at 275 with batting in that heart of the order spot and driving in a lot of runs, he's doing a really good job for him. I don't think they could ask for too much more, especially with the defense that he's playing.
Yeah, well, he is good, and he was driving in runs at an incredible clip at the start of the season. Takuya Nakamura is shot past him like his pants were on fire.
Yeah,
he's third. He's third in the league in RBI.
Nakamura and then Nakata and then him at 49. Cruz.
Well, anyway, Nakamura has more than 61 through 64 games.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on track to hit about 100 and get about 130 this year.
Yeah. And Nakata, you know, Shohei Nakata is doing well. Mm-hmm. He's not hitting for the higher average, but 58 RBI. So, I mean, you know, and then Cruz has 49. They're doing well. I mean, let's talk about the Marines now. They had a rough weekend. They fell into fifth with the loss on Friday, and then they went ahead and got swept in the weekend series with the Eagles. And you know, I think, you know, they stopped hitting a little bit, but they didn't hit against some pitchers. I think if you ask them, they think they should have done better against. But, of course, that stuff happens, and it's baseball. But, you know, you turn around and look, and they're in fifth place. Mm-hmm. And the Oryx Buffaloes and their god-awful start to the season, which has just been prolonged into a bad season, I think, so far. Thank goodness for the Buffaloes, or the Marines would be in last place.
Yeah, I mean, nothing is really surprising me about the Marines. As I said, and what you know, we, John and I had a little miscommunication as far as the question I wanted to ask Luis Cruz, which was basically, you know, what's the name? Is it more the pitching is difficult, has been difficult, or the fielding has been, there have been issues with the fielding? Because essentially, yes, what I mentioned, or what I was thinking about in that respect, was that the Marines have the worst batting, Marines opponents have the best batting average when balls are in play.
Mm-hmm.
And if you throw in errors.
In the Pacific League?
No, in Japan.
I thought it was 11 out of 12.
Oh, well, that's another stat I use.
Okay, so it is.
Okay, when it's a ball in play, you know, but that's batting average. But in terms of the number of runners who reach base safely, so fielder's choices and errors included, then they're number two behind the Tigers.
Okay.
That's on the balls in play, which is like 350.
So their batting average on balls in play is the worst in Japan.
Is the worst in Japan, but they've, you know, the extra other things they've given away, the Tigers have given away, pushed them ahead of the Marines.
Okay.
So, I don't think it's the Tigers' turf infield that's hurting their numbers.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that.
Maybe for the errors.
I was thinking about all the variables, like, you know, how hard is the turf? And I know that turf out there at the queue is pretty hard. And
it is pretty bad, yeah.
When you go to Cebu Prince Dome, it's a little softer. When you go, as far as I remember, to Fukuoka, it's a little softer.
Yeah.
And when you're at Kyocera, I think it's like medium. I don't think it's hard or soft. I think it's right in the middle. So I think those are factors, though, obviously. And then the thing that I wanted to point to is, well, maybe the balls, you know, the line drive, the velocity off the bats, the balls are being hit harder.
Yeah, it could be. They great. It could be that.
Because, you know, of their pitching staff. Because that was one thing that I was very concerned about, and why I predicted the way I predicted was just because of the pitching staff. So I think there's a lot of variables that go into that, and that's why I asked, you know, I just made sure that Luis knows what pitches are coming in what situations, and he said, yeah, but he's learning the hitters too, and he's getting into better positions to field those balls, but, you know, there's only one of him.
Yeah, and I think we know that Suzuki's range at short is a little limited.
Uh-huh, and I've talked...
Now, I'll tell you, Suzuki, he's got good hands, though.
Oh, yeah.
And he's really good at double plays. I mean, he wasn't that great with them last year, but he's really gotten good at it. And I mean really good. And here's the thing. The Marines are quite good at turning double plays, and that's not even accounting for the fact that they are one of the – well, they've got a fairly fly ball-oriented pitching staff. So they don't get as many ground balls. Of course, the other side is that they don't strike out batters either. So perhaps that's a wash. But, you know, all things considered, they're as good as any other team in Japan right now at turning double plays.
Yeah, but
so that's
right. You know, I talked about their prowess, their defensive prowess in the outfield, and how I don't really like it unless Okada is playing in center. I mean, he's great.
Well, they do lead the league in outfield. They lead both leagues in outfield assists, if that matters at all. I don't know if it does, but it's just, you know, throw that out there.
Yeah, well, you can throw it out there. I don't know really what it means or how to define it, because I don't think it's because they have great arms. I think it's probably because people are trying to take, you know, look at it this way. If you have a good arm, people don't run on you most of the time.
That is often the case, but
yeah, they'll stop before they run most of the time.
Right.
But if you're throwing out a lot of guys, it can be because they're challenging you a lot, or it can mean because they don't know what kind of arm you have and they want to challenge you to find out.
Fair enough. I think that's adequate. We don't have the bases advanced on balls in different situations,
right,
you know, to measure that against, so we can't really say. But, you know, it's better than none. 15 outs are better than 5 outs.
Right. That's true. But they're scoring at a high rate, and I think a lot of the credit goes to the guys like Cruz who are driving in runs like that. Despaigne, sure. Alfredo, he's been injured for a while. He was activated this weekend, and I think it's going to take him a little bit of time to get back into the swing of things, so to speak.
Speaking of which, it was kind of interesting today, and this does not necessarily do with the Despaigne, but the Giants-Cuban pair, Hector Mendoza and outfielder Frederick Cepeda, are leaving this week, and they're going to go play for the Cuban national team, and they'll be back sometime in July.
See you guys.
Yeah, it's like a soccer. You know, it's like soccer. I can't imagine this happening in the majors, and I'm guessing that was part of their deal to sign with the Giants, that they'd be available for national team duty. I think they're going to go play in the Pan Am Games.
Well, they probably had a stipulation that said if they're not on the first team, they could go. And
could well be.
And they're not on the first team. And yeah. Cepeda came up. Like going, he literally came up. What's that?
I want to be on the farm team. I want to play in the Pan Am Games.
Yeah. He literally came up for a cup of coffee the other day and went back down. I don't even know what it was about. Cepeda did the other day. So yeah. just weird. So maybe that was a stipulation for those guys. And
could have been.
You know, they certainly need a good swinging Cepeda. They could use him. But and Mendoza, you know, he had the great debut, and then he looked mediocre the next time out. So,
okay. I only saw the debut. I didn't see the second one. I didn't see the hangover.
He didn't look so good that second time out. So, bad bib and all those things considered, I think that we've seen this team, the Marines, score well, play well, and then have its struggles. And I think you see the inconsistency in the fact that there's no great pitcher on this. There's no great starting pitcher on this staff. And when when I mean by great is a guy you really expect, you know, 7 or 8 one-run or two-run innings every time out. And I don't think you can expect that from anybody on their staff.
Well, we were thinking we're going to get that from Ishikawa. I think at the start of the season he was pretty steady. But, you know, I think this has to do with the defense. I think there's an unsettling issue. They're just not steady enough.
Mm.
And I think also the outfield has been kind of a mix and match. I think Kyoto being there a lot will help because I think he's a good outfielder.
I think he's okay. I'm not going to give him high grades on everything. Not speed, not throwing, not range. I'm not going to give him high scores on those things. But he does well on those things.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you there. So. But I think, the fact that their defense is giving away a lot. Now, again, I don't know what's the issue there, but the defense is giving away a lot, and it's awfully hard to be a starting – it's awfully hard to be a pitcher when more than enough balls are getting through. You know, it just makes it, you know, that ball, you know, as I say, the ball that shouldn't have been hit gets hit, you know, followed by the pitch that shouldn't have been thrown. You know, he just missed that, and there's a little, you know, the extra little frustration and then a little extra pseudo psychological babble from me.
Yeah, well, and we talked about the fact that the defense and the pitching go hand in hand, but their quality start rate is 11th out of the 12 teams in Japan.
Those two things go together.
Yeah, the only team that's worse, and this is shocking, is the Nippon Ham Fighters. And I don't get that. The Lotte has a 47.7% quality start rate from their starters, but the Fighters have
43.3%.
Isn't that weird?
That is interesting.
That is really weird. So I mean,
it is. Well, the Fighters have been sort of feast or famine.
I think it's that they haven't even been that. I think they have pretty decent defense, but their starters don't go, you know, they don't pitch that well. They don't pitch that well deep into games normally.
Not enough of them, no.
Not enough, and that's simply it.
I mean, you know, it's basically Ohtani, and then hope the next guy has a good game.
The hope. The hope defense. I've seen that guy. All right.
That's right.
All right, a seamless transition into interleague talk. Now, on Tuesday, because of a blowout by Hanshin over the Nippon Ham Fighters at Koshien, that essentially gave the Hawks the interleague championship, which they're not officially calling it that this season. They're saying the team with the top winning percentage or the team with the top record, whatever they want to call it.
Who cares what they want to call it?
Yeah,
what they're not doing is handing out a check for 50 million yen, which 50. Is what they used to do.
Yeah, what they used to do. So not 50 anymore, and it's only 18 games, and it was so anticlimactic and such a bad game, and it was in the rain at Koshien. It was just soggy and mopey, and I was feeling bad. So I wrote a blog post and I said, you know, this was not climactic. And at the end of it, I said, you know, they really need to fix this thing. They need to at least try to have all the games end on the same day. If it's going to only be 18 games, you know it's going to be close. So let's schedule those games for, even if we have to make them up or something, just have them at the dome somewhere or something. Make sure it's, at least it's not raining. I don't know. There's not much they can do about it to fix it. If they're only going to play 18 games, it's going to be really hard. But it was just, I was disappointed.
Well, I still like Interleague, and I like, you know, the fact that I'm ambivalent about, you know, whether they play 18 or 24, the two-game series or three-game series. I mean, I don't like, you know, the last way, at least, you know, it was home and away. And for the advantage of having, you know, all the teams play at your home park and you playing at all the other teams' home parks, although that's not necessary. They might play in, you know, in Podunk Stadium. A couple of games there, so that throws things off. But for my record keeping and analysis, it's much better that they play home and away. So I still don't know what I'm going to do about that this year. But I like the Interleague. I get to see, you know, it's kind of different matchups and see, you know, watch the Pacific League, you know, take advantage.
Yeah. Well, so this was the fifth time since 2005 that the Hawks have won it. Yuki Yanagita was named the MVP on Saturday, and he had some pretty gaudy numbers. He hit .429. His on-base percentage was .544. Kazuhiro Takeyama of Yakult and Yusei Kikuchi of Seibu were also named outstanding players from each league. And I translated an article the other day, and in it, Hideki Hashigami, who's now a bench coach with Rakuten, said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said that the PL has had to deal with the Darvishes and the Tanakas of the world over a long period of time, and that forced the hitters to really work hard, and it forced the opposing pitchers to prepare better so that they could get ready to go up against, you know, a pitcher who probably wasn't going to give up a lot of runs. And so they just have had to prepare so hard and so well for the tough pitchers in that league. And this Hashigami came from the Giants. He moved from the Giants to Rakuten this year.
He moved back to Rakuten.
Okay. And so he's seen both leagues, and he's seen the talent in both leagues. And so he just said everybody had to get better in the Pacific League, and they've stayed at a higher level. And that's why they're beating the snot out of the Central League. His opinion.
Yeah, I think I don't. That's an interesting. I've heard various different explanations for it, but I think people are beginning to realize that the Pacific League is actually better. You know, it's not a case of our pitchers or our DHs. They're just better.
Yeah.
You know, and why that is, I can't tell you, but it is interesting. I think what the amazing thing about the Pacific League being better, and I think there's no doubt that they are. I think I calculated a few games into Interleague that the chances of two equally matched leagues having the record they currently do in Interleague is about 2.5%.
2.5, yeah.
So it might be 2.45% by now. it's pretty bad. So I don't think there's a lot of doubt that the Pacific League is better, although everyone thinks, oh, they're the same. However, take that and then take the fact that how many players have left have gone to the major leagues from the Pacific League compared to how many have left from the Central League, who would be playing right now. Let's see, there's Darvish, Iwakuma, Tanaka. There's a Kawasaki, okay.
And Iwata, oh. Yeah.
And Wada and Aoki.
And Aoki and Chen.
Ichiro.
Yeah, it goes without saying.
Okay, well, Chen, and then Kuroda came back. Okay, so we've got Chen, Kuroda, and Aoki. And on the other side, we've got Darvish and Iwakuma and Tanaka and Ichiro and Wada. So, and the Pacific League's still better.
Yeah.
And which team loses the most free agents? Well, it used to always be the Pacific League, so it's pretty amazing. You know, if the Pacific League could keep their stars to the same degree that the Central League does, I think the winning percentage would be even more lopsided.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough of that.
All right. Well, Hashigami is, he's got his opinion. And
he's a smart guy. I have a lot of respect for him, so I'll take that for what it, you know, I think that's worth listening to.
But yeah, my final opinion was that it was just too short for me, and the finale was a dud, and I don't know what they can do about it. I don't think they'll tweak it next year. They're going to at least play the reverse home-and-home situation from this year. They're going to do that next year and then maybe change for 2017. So we'll see how that goes. All right, making a four-seam transition that we hope doesn't get hit out of the park. Over to the Bay Stars, and they seem to be skidding out of control now. They've lost 12.
Well, so they're 12-0-1 since they last won.
Right. 12-0-1. The last time they won a game was June 2nd. You know, I say this was kind of, it was there to be seen if we really wanted to look and see, because they lacked a real ace arm. You know, Kubo was their opening day starter. Yamaguchi has been really good, but we could have expected him to go through a bad patch or a dry spell, whatever you want to call it. And then other than that, they don't have any real shutdown pitchers. They do well and they get by, but they're not shutdown guys. So, I mean, when you turn around and look at it, I looked at the numbers in these games. It's not like they're not scoring runs and that they're getting trampled or getting killed. You know, they're hanging in games. They're just not winning them. And they turned into that classic, When they pitch well, the bats go to sleep, and when the bats are awake, the pitching is comatose. So I mean, it's a bad situation, and I think it started to go to the bench now too, because I saw them make some moves, and I don't know if you want to call it Nakahata making the decisions or not, but they're playing the infield in early in games when they really didn't have to try to choke off a run for no reason, because they're scared to get behind in games, and they were playing the outfield in a couple times early in some games. And you know, I don't mind guys being aggressive on the base paths. You know, we've seen with Dave Okubo at Rakuten, they're going to keep running and they're going to make you make plays, and so I don't see it as a bad thing. But you know, it's not winning baseball at the moment, what they're doing.
Well, I don't know if I should go here, but by the same logic that you should have seen the Bay Stars be bad, we would expect the Lions to have crashed, because they are a team that has lacked an ace.
Yeah, but I think in general their pitching is better.
No, the pitching has been fine, but the Bay Stars pitching was quite good. they lacked an ace, but their pitching looked was pretty good.
Yeah, it looked good. No, I think they were getting good numbers, but
I think it was pretty good.
But I don't think we had expectations. I don't think we had the same expectations. I don't know. I didn't. I mean, like I said, when I looked at the Lions,
your expectations rotation, for the Lions was to be last anyway, wasn't it?
No, I think I had them either fourth or no. I had them fourth because I had the Rakuten and I had Lotte.
Okay, in any case, I'm just pointing out that bit, that I don't think that's a killer. I think we looked at the team, a lot of things, and again, I said, yes, the pitching is not great, but it is adequate, and their defense is more than adequate.
Yeah.
But when so I thought that's a good combination, you know, and I like what I've seen out of Yamaguchi. I didn't like what I saw yesterday particularly, but I like that. I like Miura's been really good now that he's sort of like building up a little steam and pitching well, and he's pitched well more or less every time he's gone out there. So I like that. But yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree with your assessment that they don't have an ace, but I don't necessarily think that's, that's the end of the season.
I don't think I said that it was this.
No,
was
I don't think that,
season.
You know, they can't win. They should be bad because they don't have an ace pitcher.
No, I just think this is something we could see coming, is what I was trying to convey.
I'm still...
I don't think it was... I never imagined it would be a double-digit losing streak, but something where they go into a bad patch and they can't really seem to right the ship because...
Well, they were lucky. I mean, they were extremely lucky to be where they were in the first place, considering how many runs they scored and how many runs they allowed.
Right.
That really hasn't changed. They've essentially their luck. I think the biggest thing is their luck has changed.
they're getting outscored by 30 runs. Their run differential is minus.
Yeah. So I mean, they were getting outscored when they were leading the league.
Yeah.
So, you know, they looked like they were playing like a fifth place team. Yeah, but they were winning like a first place team, and that was they haven't gotten any better. So eventually, that's sort of come around. You know, things have sort of righted, that's come back into balance. I don't think they're bad. Now, I do agree with you that there are weird things going on in Yokohama. And now I think there's a lot of things about the Bay Stars that are problematic. And they don't want, you know, it's like they do steal okay. You know, they're pretty good on the bases. They got a bunch of players I love. As I said, the defense is more than competent, but they've just got, you know, holes here and there. And like I said, their actual production has not really astounded me. What astounded me was the number of wins they had. Yeah. So am I surprised that they've fallen backwards? No, not really. That's what I saw. Not that the pitching was substandard. I thought their pitching is good enough to. I think their pitching and their defense, that combination, is good enough to get them into the postseason. But I think the whole package, there are some other issues with that offense, and that are more problematic. I think their offense is still a problem.
Okay. Well, I'm not saying their pitching is bad.
Okay.
Their bullpen has been shaky, but it just hasn't been, you know, and that's probably during the streak, because before the streak it was really good.
See, I think that is one of the things that happened, was one of the things that kept them going when they were in first place was they had Tanaka coming out in the eighth, and, you know, they had Yoselin Herrera coming out, and he was good, and Tanaka was lights out, and then Yasuaki Yamasaki, the half Philippine, half Japanese rookie, was also lights out. He was amazingly good, and they hit a stretch where none of them, you know, in the last couple of weeks, where none of them could get outs.
Right.
And I think that sort of went like, wow, we're not as good as we think we are. And then, of course, Nakahata going into a funk on the bench is this team that's so light and positively motivated. He looks like he's looking to break golf clubs over something.
Yeah. He's an emotional guy, but you know, as much as some JBW listeners would like to think, I don't think it has anything to do with us jinxing stuff. And I'd love to have that kind of magic power,
because
if I did, my teams would never lose. I guarantee it.
Yeah, but we know John's jinx is only with the teams he likes.
Apparently not. All right, a two-steam transition to a few little notes, or one little note. The Hanshin Tigers signed Nelson Perez from an independent league team, so we'll keep an eye on what happens there with Matt Merton, who had a talk out, or a talk, a long 90-minute chat, it seemed like, with the manager, and then he comes back. This was on Friday, I believe, and then he comes back on Saturday and hits his first home run of the year and had another hit, so kind of late in the season for him to be hitting his first home run.
First home run, that's the first thing I thought, wow.
Better late than never, and they won the game, and in fact, they won two games from the Yakult Swallows over the weekend, and they're only a half game out of first in that league that's all scrunched together with everybody from top to bottom, totally in this race. Yeah, 3.5 now from top to bottom. So this thing is going to be wide open. This will be exciting in the second half.
It's going to be fun. I think the thing about Perez I want to mention is he's the third player from the Baseball Challenge League to be signed by an NPB team. The first was Francisco Caraballo, and then Mitch Denning with Yakult, and Perez, who was playing for the Ishikawa Million Stars, which is Julio Franco's team. So we'll watch and see if he has, he holds the bat perpendicular to the ground over his head or anything, and he picks up any mannerisms.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Okay, let's go to fielding questions. All right, this came via Twitter, and it's from Kazuto Yamazaki, and he says, who do you think is the most advanced metrics-oriented manager in NPB? You want me to go first, or you want to go first?
Yeah, go ahead. Give it your shot. I'm stumped.
It's totally a shot in the dark, because we know that these teams have all these metrics and that they've been using this stuff for years, so it's not a surprise. But I was going to say that it was the Marines, because Bobby Valentine and his assistant is his main man, his right-hand man, Paul Pupo, who did a lot of statistical research and got guys ready for games. And I thought they installed those philosophies, or instilled the philosophies, into the everyday game plans with the Marines. But after talking to Luis Cruz, I was thinking maybe more like they didn't use that stuff at all. Or maybe he just doesn't look at him. I don't know. Maybe it just doesn't appear to be the case. So I started thinking about all the teams and who has a pad, a paper, or a clipboard in the dugout all the time.
Everybody does.
But who? I mean, not the managers. But if there's any manager or anybody I could see doing it, it would be Kimiyasu Kudo of the SoftBank Hawks. So I'm going to go with the Hawks.
You know, I thought about Kudo because he's well educated. He has a graduate degree in physiotherapy or physio sports medicine or something from Tsukuba University, I believe. Mm-hmm. So yeah, one would think that. But he's also such an old-fashioned guy. He's such a, you know, hard, you know, gotta have heart, gut it out, grind it out kind of guy that I wonder. So I did think about him. I have candidates for who are the least.
Well, you gotta answer the question first.
Okay, it's hard to choose. I was thinking of Norio Tanabe of the Lions because he bunts less than anybody else in Japan. But on the other hand, if he were sabermetrically oriented, he wouldn't let his guys run the bases and get thrown out. You know, they give away an out for almost every base they advance.
Oh.
That's not good. So that's probably not it. And then I thought, well, you know, if we go to that metric, the Marines are perhaps the most efficient base stealing team in Japan. They're getting about five bases for every out. Excuse me, four bases for every out. I get my numbers properly done here. But on the other hand, the Marines don't walk. The Marines don't walk, and they don't do anything that would lead you to think they value on base percentage, other than that they give a high on base percentage to their opponents.
Right.
So. Geez, I'm really stumped. I don't have any. The problem is, and this is the thing, I don't have any candidates. I don't think there is a single manager in Japan who particularly cares about, you know, learning what is going to make the team that he has right now more successful by emphasizing specific parts of the game that other managers might not. It's basically, with that one exception of Tanabe not bunting, I can't find one.
Yeah. Well,
now the candidate for the guy with his head farthest up some channel with his – I wasn't going to say that. The candidate for the guy with his head up deepest up some channel is probably Kiyoshi Nakahata.
It's heading toward Uranus, you said?
Wow.
It's so far into space.
Indeed.
Nakahata.
Yeah, well, that's an unlike. I don't know how to touch that one.
Just back away with your hands in the air.
Wash your hands first.
The other guy I thought might be metrics-oriented or just the whole team, and that's why this team is sniffing around a fourth straight Central League title, is the Giants, because you know they have all those meetings, and you know what
you're gonna find the Japanese team that has meetings.
They have more meetings than other. I mean, you know, they trap these guys in the rooms and they brainwash them. And the reason is because you look at sometimes it's a mixture of guys who should be underperforming who are overperforming. And guys who we don't know what they're going to do exceeding. I mean, I don't know what kind of expectations you have on a rookie pitcher like Takagi, but obviously he's meshing with the team on a different level. And, you know, I think it could be the Giants as well.
Well, that could be, you know, from the point of view of finding, you know, using the available information to identify things like, you know, like release points, finding things in the swings or something. But I find that difficult with Hara because he's such a bad manager when it comes to knowing what his players actually do. I mean, This is a guy who, you know, he'll switch righty-lefty to a guy, you know, with a pitcher who doesn't, you know, with a left-handed pitcher who doesn't get out right-handed batters against a right-handed batter who kills left-hand, you know, or who a lefty who doesn't get out left-handed batters against a left-handed pitcher, a left-handed hitter who kills lefties. You know, he'll do things that make absolutely no sense whatsoever. So I wonder, but the Giants staff, okay, now here's where we get to the next level. The Giants staff could well be extremely, extremely prepared, and I think that may be true. But as far as the manager goes, Hara ain't it.
Okay.
But he is good at listening to people, and he is good at making decisions. And there's a lot of things I like about Hara that just doesn't happen to be one of them.
Okay. All right, Kazuto, thank you very much for the question. And we'll be expecting more questions next week. You can send them to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Tweet us at #HighHeat at JBW Podcast. And you can also go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.